From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We want to continue where we left off and start talking about the defense and the takeaways from the Atlanta game that we saw in preseason game number two. I'm Ryan Dracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, as well as your host at RGR Football on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. And Chris Clark's going to join me in a second, but wanted to go over preemptively a little bit here. George Ialoka was released by the Bengals on Sunday. And as we got around and thinking about it and talked about it a bit, you know, it is an option for the Chiefs. They are down safeties. Both their starters are currently not practicing. I don't know about the length of time for Sorensen, as well as we have no idea about Eric Berry right now. So I think pursuing a guy like Ialoka is an option for this team because he can play cover two. He can play the deep safety. He's kind of a tweener, like Bob Sutton likes, guy that can play both positions, but he definitely has skills that can play deep, probably better than the guys that they have right now. And if they're worried about it, it's somebody to pursue. So just wanted to get that out of the bat, and we're going to really continue to pick up about what the Atlanta game meant for this team. So for today, we're going to continue our look at what happened in Atlanta and what it means for this team going forward. This week, this coming Saturday, is basically the penultimate moment of the preseason where you need to see the ones do what they do in as close to a regular season performance as possible. And some of these guys are ready. Some aren't. We have some question marks. We have a new guy. We're going to go through what we saw against Atlanta, and we want to know what you guys think, too. So make sure you hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as in any of the comments on the Chiefs Digest posts. We hinted at it yesterday. Why don't we start with Ben Neiman? Because there's been a lot of talk about him. How do you feel about him right now?
I thought Ben Neiman looked good. I thought it was very interesting that he was actually getting first-string reps, or what was semi-first-string reps. And I do think Terrence Smith got hurt, but I didn't think Terrence Smith got hurt until after Neiman actually came in. So seeing him get those reps, I think the team does like him. And there is a lot to unpack there. And I know we didn't talk about this yesterday, but I do want to bring this up now. When we talked about offense, there's one guy that we still haven't talked about much, and that's Blake Mack.
I didn't see him do anything in Atlanta, so
did you? Nor did I. But to me, and this is another guy I want to talk about a little bit later, but I want to bring him up now since I said something about Mack. Demontre Wade also did almost nothing in the game, and I believe you looked it up before we actually started recording that he didn't even play any defensive snaps.
No, 7 special team snaps for Demontre Wade against Atlanta, nothing on defense.
Yeah, and to me, those are two guys that if you're looking at guys that the Chiefs are maybe trying to figure out a way to get on the practice squad, they're your top two candidates.
Yeah, and that's fair. One on each side of the ball, I think that's something that is probably likely. We'll see what happens in game 3, which should be starters longer. So really, game 4 will be the last minute, whether they try to get a little more look or they've seen enough to try and stash them.
Yeah. But it's just telling to me that those guys that have stood out in camp, they're not getting game reps.
Yeah. So that's fair. And again, it's that level of competition, and that's something that was good to see for Ben Neiman. I know that he had a big splash play, and I'll give you that. But it was coming in playing against the higher level of competition that I thought was more telling because I didn't see him get blasted.
No. There was a specific play, and yes, they ended up getting like a 7-yard run out of it or an 8-yard run out of it that was kind of towards his hole. I'm not going to say it was directly at him, but one thing I noticed is the guard tried to go and block Neiman, and Neiman basically just ran around him.
Yeah, and that's a common theme because Kimi Oligwe did that as well. I saw a lot of ducks and unders and a little bit of a round. Oligwe seems to have learned quite a bit from Derek Johnson in his way not to take force from the offensive lineman. Clearly, in my mind, Kimi Oligwe is the number 3 inside linebacker on this team. I like what they did with him. I like that he's getting starting reps in the absence of the two starters. And I like that they're pairing either Neiman on some of the rundowns. I think that can work later, as well as Dorian O'Daniel. I love that in the what I'm calling the quick nickel, because Oligwe can cover tight ends. O'Daniel can cover slot receivers even. It's not a very good run fit, but in terms of passing downs, I think that's a great bigger nickel.
I can't disagree with that. You talk about Akeem Oligwe, and I I'm with you. I think he's their number three guy. And I was very excited to see Dorian O'Daniel get snaps at inside linebacker, because I do think that that's going to be, or what basically would look like an inside linebacker role. I think that's going to be a great fit for him on passing downs. But I have to beg the question, do you think that it is troubling that the starting Chiefs inside linebackers have still not played a preseason game?
No, I'm not worried about it at all.
Okay.
If they were not practicing, I would be concerned. And I still don't buy the whole thing. I went to Mexico City and my knee blew up Reggie Ragland. I think he tweaked something and they have to be really, really careful with it. And we've seen Hitchens miss time as well in practice. And I think they're just overly thin. I think they feel at the position, especially in the run fits. Like I said, you can bring in Oligwe, you can bring in O'Daniel, and you can get some work done against the pass, but against the run, I think it's still a big question mark. So you don't want to risk any injury to Ragland and Hitchens is all I think it is.
Well, and Hitchens was dealing with a hamstring, so.
Yeah.
And I will grant you, it seemed awfully suspicious and weird, the type of injury that they were saying Ragland had. Yeah. He got on a plane and his knee swelled. He's on a plane how many times a year to fly to play games?
And then he said that he was in Mexico City and it was the altitude and he did some kind of workout on field turf, which we all know is not a good surface for an injury to be rehabbed on. I'm not going to call him, you know, that he's telling tales, but if that's true, it wasn't the brightest move for a guy that's, you know, needs to be a leader on this team. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. As long as they're ready by week one, I think both of them will be just fine.
Well, we will see on that aspect of it. Obviously the other concerning one is Eric Berry, and he still hasn't practiced, so not sure how that's going to end up. And obviously he is a guy that doesn't need the reps on defense, so that's a good thing. But it's a little concerning that he's not practicing or playing. He was there, and so was Ragland. I saw Ragland on the sideline. I'm sure there were other people that I didn't see on the sideline that were there. It was concerning is not the right word, but it was maybe concerning is a little bit of the right word. Alan Bailey not even suiting up and playing.
Yeah, and conspicuous by his absence, but again, haven't heard anything. Don't know if that's just, hey, we don't need to see him. We need to see more of the rotation of the younger guys. I saw D-Liner play more. So I thought that was good, but both of those guys, both Berry and Allen, are specific against the run game, that's a problem. And before we completely leave the linebackers, I just want to ask you, in my mind, whether he's hurt or not, Terrence Smith did not look good in either the run or the pass. And I feel at this point that Ben Neiman surpassed him on the depth chart.
Oh, Ryan's drinking the Neiman Kool-Aid.
No, I'm not saying he's, you know, all world, and make no mistake, that interception – I thought he showed athleticism on the run back, but folks, that was a gift. The quarterback threw it to him. He made no play on that ball other than to correctly catch it as though it were a drill in practice. But
let's be fair. There was also a time where the previous 56 would have dropped that on the field.
That's true. Sorry, DJ. The truth's the truth, man. but overall, I don't see anything Terrence Smith tells me that he can outplay Neiman on defense. Maybe special teams is a different story, but on defense. And with whether you think it's not a big deal like me, or if you're concerned, especially about the inside linebackers, that's particularly important to have a guy that can play on defense as your number four ILB.
Well, and maybe that's why Neiman started getting first string reps. Maybe they're looking at trying to put him on the roster and maybe he's going to take over for Terrence Smith's position. I'm not going to say Terrence Smith looked good because he didn't. But I never thought Terrence Smith was on the roster to play ILB.
Right.
To me, he was always a special teams ace type player that was good in coverage on kick returns or on punts and kickoffs.
Game three will certainly be telling who actually gets to play in the fourth quarter as they bring in the backups. But
whether or not Smith even plays. I mean, Smith got injured in that game, so he might not even play.
Right, yeah, the severity we don't know at this point. We'll have to find out. But until we get too much deeper into this conversation, got to remind you guys that Matt Williams has a brand new lineup over at Locked On NFL. He's got all the experts on, and it's on a weekly basis now. There's going to be local stories early in the week, and then the experts start showing up. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus every Wednesday. You're going to have Mike Sando from ESPN every Thursday, and all kinds of great stuff that is adding to what Matt already does on the Locked On NFL show. So make sure you check that out and get your NFL news from folks who know what they're talking about. Let's take a quick second. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of this defense and what we saw against Atlanta. So clearly, the front seven, we've seen what we've seen. Did you see anything from Breland or K-Pass that got you excited? Because I thought it was a pretty lackluster game for them. A lot of push, but no fire.
Well, you went back and rewatched. I haven't had a chance to go do that yet. I went out of town basically right after the game the next day. I didn't see anything specifically. I saw K-Pass stumble and look like what I thought he was going to end up getting hurt on the play, to be completely honest. But he ended up running down the field. It just was not a couple awkward steps for him. But no, I didn't see anything that really stood out to me. And it's okay with me to they're not going to have great games sometimes, and that's just going to be them learning. The Falcons' offensive line is pretty decent. I mean, they're not great, but they're pretty decent. So it doesn't surprise me that they were able to keep them in check, at least for some of it.
Well, hopefully they can make a bigger splash in game three. I think that's going to be important. Got to go full speed.
Because you still are concerned about what you have with D Ford. And
yeah,
although he did seem to shed a blocker and actually make a play in the running game, which I never thought I would see, but
yeah, at the point of attack, like, oh, hey, you finally figured something out. Can you do it in the regular season is the question.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you this, it is very, very clear to me that as much as Justin Houston may not like it, he's going to have to play on the left quite a bit because D Ford is markedly better. I'm sorry. Houston's going to have to play on the right because D is markedly better on the left.
Yeah, and I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I hate that.
Yeah.
And but, I hate it because, to me, you're taking away from your best player to give a chance to a player that is much lesser than the other.
Yeah, but if it allows him to play at a higher level overall, I think it's better to have two, you know, if we're talking Madden, it's better to have two 80s than 195 and 175.
Yeah, but I don't think it makes Justin an 80. I just don't know where it really puts him. Yeah. I just would, for me, I would rather have him going up against the worst of the two tackles. Mm-hmm. Especially considering how well he sets the run.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all teams are going to have to do is basically, you know, teams like to run to the right generally because that's their best run blocking side. And I think that is going to really hamper what D Ford is able to do because teams are going to want to run at him anyway.
Yeah.
So
I can't argue with any of that. I'd like to see them. I know that they played some bare front last year. I'd like to see more of that myself, but I think you could also see a slight shift. If they're going to play more of a penetrating type four-man front, especially, but even in the base, I want to see them slant more. I want to see them jump into gaps. That will help D as well. But clearly, I think D Ford is the starter for now, but I think he's going to be under heavy rotation with the young kids.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Just be honest. You wish that they would go to, you know, five defensive linemen and two linebackers or three linebackers, and that's the way they would run their defense.
Nah. I just want to four shut down corners and send everybody else. That's all.
Okay.
If my Madden team looked like that, that's what you would see.
And how many fullbacks would be on the roster?
Four. Yeah. You got to be able to rotate, man. Okay. Those wing T formations and the diamond bat formations. I mean, you got to have two fullbacks.
Okay.
Welcome to 1924, folks.
And this is why I already know Ryan's old.
Yeah, well, hey. I can't argue with that, so I'll just run with it. You know? It is what it is.
Like, as much as I would like to argue with that, on I just really can't.
Yeah, the facts are the facts, and I'm old. It's cool. I remember the 80s. I remember one bar helmets. So, hey, that's fine. But further on this team, we talked a little bit about the corners, and I think we got to go through them probably man by man. But before we do that, I just want to say that the injury to Barry is really concerning because we saw what the secondary became last season without him. But I will say this, as unconvinced as I was last week about Leon McQuay, I thought he played solidly. I like the way he came up in run support. I like the way he attacked the ball in the air. He's better than I gave him credit for, and I think he and Murray can be passable. Maybe not against the Chargers and the Steelers, but I think they can be passable.
And I'm glad you brought up the safeties, because to me, Amerson did not play necessarily a good game. But I do also think he was hung out to dry on some of his passes. I think he looked like he was expecting safety help, and the safety help was a step or two late.
See, and I've heard people say that, especially early in the game when 17, you know, the player that I've never heard of ran just completely away from him. I don't feel that was the case that often. I thought he got beat at the line, and he was not in a trail position by design. He was fighting to catch up is what I saw. But we will never know because – Bob won't tell us the calls. Like, you know, I mean, if Bob would just get on the phone with me before he called every play, that'd be great.
Yeah, Ryan wants just a direct line to, you know, if you're going to get a direct line to Bob, can you get a direct line to Andy Reid, please? Because I want to hear some of these offensive play calls and see how many play calls have less than 17 words in them.
Zero. But beyond the two that started at safety, what was your impression?
Of the safeties? Mm-hmm. Or about CBs in general? Honestly, I didn't watch the safeties too much.
Okay.
I already mentioned this. It was really surprising to me not to see Demontre Wade on the field. Mm-hmm. Not sure what to make of that, because to me, he was one of the better players in camp, and I thought he played pretty good in the first preseason game.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
Arian Springs, I didn't see much from, but I'm okay with that. I thought Tre'Mont Smith actually looked like he came in and was excited to go and compete against the starters when Nelson went down. We got to hope that that injury is not going to be a long-term injury with Nelson.
On several levels, not yeah. just the field, but in terms of leadership and attitude in the CB room day in, day out.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure. I thought the DBs, I mean, Fuller, I just Fuller's don't Fuller. Get, huh?
Fuller's Fuller, man. I thought he looked in regular season form.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I just don't get why, as a quarterback that supposedly knows what you're doing, why do you go at Fuller when you're going up against a guy like Amerson or Nelson?
Honestly, because I think part of Matt Ryan's offense is geared to go towards that slot. That's where they want the ball to go, regardless of who's in there. And I think it's just a mistake that they happen to go up against probably the best or one of the best slot corners in the game.
And that's maybe the truth, but to me it still seems like it's a poor decision on Ryan's part, because I think he could have easily completed that ball elsewhere. But thank you, Kendall Fuller, who I think is going to be a fantastic player for Kansas City, hopefully for years to come. Because from what I've heard from different people about Fuller, he is definitely somebody I would not be scared of paying.
Well, let's take another break there. We'll come back and we'll finish up with the secondary. And I know you mentioned Arian Springs. I wanted to say something. I did see him take some snaps at safety, and I haven't gone back and charted those. So maybe if it were the regular season, I'd jump on that. I don't know that I'm going to have time to do it. But here's the thing is that they gave him some shots at it.
The other side of that is I don't know that you can really chart it very well, because you can't – all 22 isn't there, is it?
No, that's the problem. And that's why I'm saying it's not necessarily worth my time to try and like get glimpses of guys backpedaling out of formation. So, but the key part is he got some of those snaps. He got looks at safety against – I think it was twos and threes. maybe it might have been mostly threes, but the other guy that got reps with him was Jordan Stearns, and I've liked him in camp. I thought he looked pretty aggressive and not hesitant like I saw last year. I think he's a guy with a physical skills, but I mean, if you're talking, if Eric Berry has anything significant and has to go on IR, even temporarily, you're talking Sorensen gone.
Hey, Ryan. Because,
yeah.
Quit with that blasphemy before you even start.
Understood. Understood. If Eric gets the flu for 6 weeks, but Sorensen is as optimistic as they want to be. I don't expect Dan Sorensen back. Maybe towards the end of the season, but that plateau surgery is a serious one. So I, at this point, I'm counting him out. So you're talking Murray, McQuay seem to be their top two. If you're going to get reps out of Springs, that might be a way to keep him on the active roster if he moves over to safety. And I think Stearns might be the next guy up there. And from what I saw against Stearns with the twos and the threes, I thought that was good. I thought Armani Watts played a lot. He's obviously going to be in the mix. They have a lot of young options, but no experience. So it's going to be a test, to say the least. But I'm still thinking this team keeps 10, maybe even 11 DBs just because of where the talent level is. And I think Stearns may have a shot at making this if Eric Berry is, you know, under the weather. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, you and your Eric Berry talk. I don't think Stearns makes the roster because I don't think Berry is going to be under the weather. I think they're going to play him. If he ends up not being able to finish, that's another issue. And I really hate saying that because I really like Eric Berry, but his injury and the fact that he's not practicing at all scares me.
For me, it's the fact that they're calling it heel soreness, which is exactly what happened to him prior to the injury last year.
Right. That's concerning as well. So, I mean, we'll see on that. There's so many things to happen between now and when the season starts. Did you see anything from the defensive lineman that stood out to you? I think Xavier Williams looked good. I liked what I saw, the small sample from Derek Nnadi, and I liked the sack. But I don't think that I really saw a ton of things from the defensive line.
I'll say the big thing that I saw that I liked is that I saw both Williams and Nnadi running out of the two-man front, you know, in a three-tech. And those are two guys that we thought maybe weren't going to be able to be in that rotation when they go into the nickel, that they were going to be, you know, nose guard, you know, base defense only guys. I don't think that's true. And I thought both of them looked like they could penetrate some. Nnadi looks super strong, and I like that. I mean, yeah, the sack was – it was luck. It was not him producing, but – he did what he's supposed to do, penetrate a gap when the quarterback steps up, take him down. Good for him. I think that's solid, and I think that gives them one more guy on that rotation that can clearly play. At that point, I would say that Nnadi and Williams can probably play any position on the D-line. They can both play, obviously, the zero, but they could both play five. And now it looks like they can both play three, and that's great in terms of interoperability. I'll tell you the one thing I was disappointed with. I think Chris Jones has a lot of intensity, but I saw a couple of plays where he stood basically straight up again. Like we saw in college, just lack of discipline in his pad level. And maybe it's just because it's preseason, or maybe he knew he wasn't going to play that many snaps. I don't know. But I want to see him dominate every snap as he can and then go take a rest.
Well, yeah, and that's concerning mainly because you look at what Jones is capable of and you hope that he's able to dominate. And if he is taking lackluster snaps in the preseason because he knows he's not going to play much, That's even more reason to me to take great snaps. If you know you're not going to play much, you take the best advantage of it as you can. So
I would agree.
I understand the concern there. I think he'll be fine, but that is a little concerning. I didn't notice that, but I wasn't specifically watching Jones for that either. So I was watching, as I do when I first watch a game, mainly just the football and what was going on around the football. But I did watch a little bit of the offensive line, but and a little bit of the linebacker play, but nothing really that was too in depth.
You know, I think really the position of question right here with the Steven Nelson injury is the corners, and I don't know where it comes away. Kendall Fuller played a ton. Eric Murray played a ton. Liam McQuay played a ton. I think 66% of the snaps against Atlanta, all of them. Amerson didn't play quite as much. I'm still concerned about him. Are you still comfortable, or are you up in the air?
I'm up in the air. I don't know what to think right now, to be honest. I think that he has ability, but, you know, we'll have to see when the season starts. I will say this. I think he got the short end of the stick the first game. I think he got screwed on two penalties that were not real penalties.
Okay.
But, you know, and I still think that the safeties were not where they were supposed to be a couple of times on him, but I do know that he did get beat as well. So it's not that it was all not his fault. It was that, you know, I think that it looked worse because he didn't have the help over the top, but he was definitely beat on the play, which is concerning. I mean, but here's the thing. When it comes to Nelson, or when it comes to Amerson and Nelson, neither of those guys are going to be guys that you're going to expect to play on a corner very much, or on an island very much. They're just not.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope, but I mean, Bob seems to want to do what he wants to do, and that is to play man on your own with a single high safety.
Well, but this is also preseason.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, we talk about how vanilla they are in preseason on offense. Defense is the same thing. I don't know that I've really seen a stunt, although I will admit I haven't been specifically watching for it. I don't know that I've seen defensive line stunts.
I've seen a couple of twists with the outside backers, and I think that's good because I think they have to do that a lot. They have to be more aggressive and more, less predictable.
Right.
But like you said, it is the preseason. I thought the rest of the corners, I mean, like we said, Wade didn't play. They gave some snaps to, is it Dorlant or Dorlant? I'm not sure.
Dorlant. But the other side, and I will say this real quick, and I'll let you continue with what you were saying. The one thing I will say about Amerson and Nelson and any of the other corners is the preseason is all about trying to figure out what the players can do. So you're more inclined to leave them on an island in the preseason than you would be in a regular season game.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to figure out what they can and can't do. Yeah. So you're basically throwing them out there, hanging them out there to dry. If they're not capable of it, they're not capable of it, and you'll find that out. And hopefully you're able to figure out ways around it. But
well, I think what it does at the end of the day, and this is all dependent on Steven Nelson coming back. I thought Nelson looked okay. They played soft game one. I thought they played – now I'd have to run the stats again, but they played a lot more man against the Falcons. And I thought Nelson looked fine in the – what it was, it seven snaps or whatever. In fact, he was coming up. He came off of his guy to try to make a tackle, and that's how he got hurt. So not only is he doing his job, but he's aware of how much he has to chip in. My big concern is Amerson. Obviously, we talked about Wade. Tremont Smith, he's only going to get better. And now the Scandrick thing is going to be, where does he fit in? If Nelson doesn't play game three, does Scandrick get that? Because because of his veteran status, he's probably a guy that can walk in and play in the shell correctly. That's going to be the real question mark for me. And I think it'll be very indicative about where they're going right now with he versus Tremont Smith versus Nelson if he's back.
Well, I can't imagine Nelson's going to be back. I just don't think you rush somebody back from a concussion in the preseason. Obviously, you don't do that in the regular season either. But, you know, even if he clears protocol, I don't think you – and maybe he will play. But I don't think he plays near what they were planning on playing in, because I'm pretty sure they're planning on playing in the entire first half and some of the third quarter. And I wouldn't put him out there for that long.
Yeah.
But – you know, I'm not them, and they got to do what they think is best for their team. And, you know, it is going to be interesting to see where he fits in. And when I say he, I mean Scandrick, where he fits in on the defense, where he's going to be playing to start with. If he comes in as a starter, you know, the other thing, and this is something that our guy Reagan Cresswell has mentioned multiple times on Twitter, you know, Scandrick's more of a slot corner than he really is an outside guy. Where's that leave you?
It means there's always this possibility, and they talked about it when they first signed, traded for Fuller, that they felt he could play outside. And if that is the case, and if after you get him in practice and you see where he is right now physically at his age and whatever, and you still feel he's best in the slot, I think he's better than anything they had in the slot last season. So it's still a step up for that position. And if Nelson's out and you move Fuller out to the boundary, okay, I have no problem with that.
Well,
it's kind of like the offensive line. Best three need to play.
Oh, and that's probably fair. I guess my thought on that is you're bringing in a guy that is going to be your third corner. In my opinion, I think they're bringing in Skandrick to look at him as a third corner, not a fourth, unfortunately. But I do think that's probably what they're looking at him for. And, you know, you have three guys that can play. Your top three corners at that point would be guys that play well in the slot. I mean, it gives you tremendous versatility. I will say that.
Yeah, but especially when you look at Denver with Demaryius and now Cameron Sutton, or Cortland Sutton, sorry. Big, physical, gigantic receivers. That puts you at a disadvantage.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't believe that Denver's going to have Thomas after this year, but
right,
we will see.
And that's okay. I'm personally fine with that, but maybe it's an overreaction on my part. I'm always looking at the divisional games. Cause at the end of the day, that's six wins. If you can own your division.
The crazy thing to me is if you look at Denver, they may be going to Case Keenum year two without Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean that itself is crazy to me. And then we haven't even discussed the fact that their rookie quarter or their quarterback that they drafted a couple years ago in the first round is now their third string guy.
Right. And I did not watch the game Saturday night with the Broncos. I may go back and watch it on replay on condensed, but that's certainly a significant thing that you've wasted that top pick.
Just so you can laugh at your wife.
Right. And I'll tell you this, they may be without both Sanders and Thomas next year. But they drafted guys that are eerily close and similar to their replacements in Sutton for Thomas and Deshaun Hamilton for Sanders. And Hamilton's a bit thicker. Not quite as speedy or as shifty, but also a guy that can be, your Z and can move inside when he needs to. I think they are very much mirroring their two starters that they are expecting to lose from what I see.
Well, and it's just still crazy to me because John Elway is going to get the credit, but I think bringing back Gary Kubiak is going to save Elway his face in Denver.
Yeah, I agree. But that's a story for a different day, folks. We're at half an hour already, so we're going to wrap this up for today. We have more coming from you, from Matt Derrick, from Seth. We're all kind of in this as we're getting ready for week three. So keep your eyes peeled on Twitter. Keep listening. We appreciate it. Spread the word. We thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube. Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.